It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Hey, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Really appreciate all of their hard work. And check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MunsonSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. There you will get your first look at our upcoming essays and as well as our upcoming guests. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's stuff, whether or not it's their rights, their property, freedom, livelihoods, opportunities, their childhood, or their lives via force. And force can obviously be a weapon, but it can be a policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, government-induced inflation, the World Economic Forum's agenda, the globalist elite's agenda with the United Nations, this Colorado state legislature, this Colorado governor, land use codes, zoning regulations, conservation easements, national monument designations. These are all ways to go after our property. And remember, if something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. On the show, we focus on the issues, and we'll talk about the people and the issues, but we really work diligently to stay out of all the personality stuff. And you can hear the show, let's see, it is 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And then the first hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon. The second hour is 10 to 11 at night, and that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, and the KLZ app. And my friends, I'm on location up in Steamboat, Colorado. You talk about God's country. It's absolutely beautiful. And Teresa, who is a member of our team, she's our new partnership liaison, is here with me. Teresa, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim. It's great to be here. Good morning, everyone.
And we had a great adventure. We were down at the Conference for Leadership Program in the Rockies this weekend and had some great conversations, saw a lot of great people. And then we got up early on Sunday morning and came up to Steamboat. Talk about a bluebird day. It's gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous road trip.
It is. And I at the beginning, so the reason we're up here is I gave the keynote for the Rout County Lincoln Day brunch yesterday. And what a fun event, great people. Shout out to Heather for really putting together a great event. And I think it's DeVos, I think is how you pronounce her last name. You know how you read things and you're like, oh, I think I know exactly how to pronounce that. Now while we're sitting here, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I have that exactly
such
right.
But
Heather was just really awesome. And I did, when I started the speech, I gave thanks to our good Lord, because you and I had two kind of close calls of people that were passing in the lane that we were in. And
I thought we were headed off the road there.
Yeah, one I was headed to the ditch a little bit. So I want to say thank you to the good Lord for that. Amen. And then they say things come in threes. So there was one that was pretty far down the road, but we're counting that as our third, right?
That's right. So we safe travels on the way home today.
Exactly. On that, so let me get over here, Teresa. Our word of the day is reticent, and that is R-E-T-I-C-E-N-T. And the definition on it is could be inclined to keep one's thoughts, feelings, personal affairs to oneself, restrained or reserved, reluctant or unwilling. And so, again, it's R-E-T-I-C-E-N-T. And sometimes I may be reticent. When we were talking about the word of the day, you said that that may not be an adjective that would be used with you that often. Or?
That's probably true. I do not tend to be reticent. I share my opinion pretty frequently. My children can attest to that.
But so your challenge today is to use the word reticent in a sentence, and that way you can impress your friends and family as we are all expanding our vocabularies. Our quote of the day is from Louis D. Brandeis, and Jonathan Turley was one of the speakers down at the conference this week. Weekend, and he was really great, and you see him a lot on Fox News, but he had quoted Louis Brandeis, who was born in 1856. He died in 1941, and he was an American lawyer and served as the Associate Justice on the Supreme Court from 1916 to 1939. And this was his quote. He said, "The only title in our democracy superior to that of president is the title of citizen." What do you think, Teresa?
I think that that's something that so many of us have been conditioned to almost forget, that the government is actually here to work for us.
But it's not a passive arrangement. We need to be engaged as well.
Absolutely. Now is not the time to sit back and be complacent. Now's the time to get involved.
And we have an opportunity right now with the Trump administration. He basically just opened the crack in the door for us to reclaim our country. But we need to be active at the local, the county, and the state level. That's why seeing all the people yesterday at the Steamboat or the Rout County Republican brunch was just so much fun. And hopefully we're going to get to talk a little bit more about that, the after party on that, if you will.
My goodness, so much fun.
So let's see. So again, his quote was, "The only title in our democracy superior to that of president is the title of citizen." Next thing, our bill of the day, and again, I want to say thank you to my fellow Colorado Union of Taxpayer Board members. There were 131 bills that are scheduled for hearing this week. And on Friday evening, after the events down at the Broadmoor, I was up till about 12:30 going through all those bills. We selected 41. This is so much work for these people to do, to go through, determine whether or not we should have a yes position, no position, do not rate, what their reasoning is. And it's all volunteer. We'd love it if you would join us. $25. It's $2.08 a month. You can join us by going to coloradotaxpayer.org. And you will receive the email that I'll be working on later today that will go out to our all of our legislators and the governor, and you'll get first look at that. But I want to say thank you to these people, and when you see them, say thank you. And that's my fellow board members, Steve Dorman, Greg Goliansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, Mary Jansen, David Evans, Corey Onazorg, Paula Beard and Ray Beard have just joined us as well. So to say thank you to them. But of those, Teresa, let me just do a quick check and see. As of Friday morning, there have been 495 either pieces of legislation or resolutions that have been proposed down at the State House. This is not representative government.
It's not.
At least 497 this morning. I bet we're going to go over 500, which is crazy.
It's ridiculous.
So with that, though, there's so many things, and there's been some good bills in there as well. We've had some Republicans that have brought forth some bills to try to roll back government, but this is not one of them, and this is a dangerous one. You need to take a look at it. It's House Bill 1225. The sponsor on this, one sponsor, and that is Representative Stephen Woodrow, a Democrat, and it says Freedom from Intimidation in Elections Act. And it says it prohibits an individual from intimidating, threatening, or coercing any individual for engaging in certain election-related activities. So you go in and you take a look at – this is just the summary. It says that it prohibits any individual from intimidating, threatening, or coercing or attempting to intimidate, threaten, or coerce. So, Teresa, first thing there, those can all be subjective,
absolutely,
all of those words. So they're putting in the subjective criteria for voting or attempting to vote, urging or aiding any individual to vote or attempt to vote. That's going to be interesting to see on there, get out the vote. But this next one, exercising any powers or duties to administer elections, including vote counting, canvassing, or election certification. And let's see. And this last one, I didn't really think about this. So Therese, what do you think about this? The individual status as a past or present participant in the administration of elections. I'll have to think about that. That third one is bad. The fact if we cannot canvass our elections.
The way that they titled that, though, seems like such a guise and a facade for what the meat mm-hmm. is inside of that bill.
I know. And so we'll
because
have to...
when you read the title...
You don't want people to be intimidated, right?
No. So it's, oh, of course, we don't want people to be intimidated. But that's not really the guise of that bill.
No, it isn't whatsoever. So you're going to have to, we're going to have to keep our eyes on that. Let's see, a couple of things. Since we're up in Steamboat, after the speech yesterday, I had a gentleman come up and he said, because we talked a little bit about wolves, and this is from Complete Colorado, says livestock depredation estimated at $24,000 per imported wolf. This gentleman came up. He said, it's worse than you think. He said, my neighbor is losing all kinds of livestock. This is by design, and it's affecting our food supply because it's affecting them to be how they can be successful livestock producers. This is all by design. And when I say Colorado, Teresa, is at the tip of the spear, we are at the tip of the spear.
Caldera said that they are actually coming in pre-trained to kill livestock. Pre-trained.
The wolves?
That's a quote from Caldera.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Yeah. To the tune of, right now, $600,000 worth of private livestock loss. $600,000.
How can they stay in business? How can they stay
in
business?
How does this make sense?
So, and the gentleman that came up to talk with us after the event yesterday, he said that the wolves got into a herd of elk, that then they got into a herd, fencing. And he said there were legs and blood and everything everywhere. So it's pretty bad. And POLIS, I guess the people of Colorado did vote on that. But I don't think that it was.
I didn't either.
And when I did my voter's guide, I said, if the people of Boulder and Denver want wolves in Colorado, they need to put them in their backyard.
I kind of agree.
Yeah. So we'll talk some more about some of these headlines. I think many of you and some of you have reached out to me that, as you all know, Hooters Restaurants has been just a great sponsor of both of the shows. The franchise owners, they're great conservatives, love America, and it's how I got to know them. It was a really important story about freedom and free markets and capitalism. And I saw the headline this weekend that Hooters National has filed for bankruptcy. This whole restaurant industry is tough across the country. It's really tough here in Colorado. And so we're going to, I reached out to them and I was hoping to have lunch with them this week. So we're going to see about that, but stay tuned, but go and have lunch at Hooters. They have these great specials. Yeah, they have great wings, great fish and chips. And this public policy from the Biden-Harris administration. And then here, I think maybe I'll start to call it the OPOLIS administration here, is it's really making it difficult for entrepreneurs. So I am very grateful for Hooters Restaurants. And they have 5 locations, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, Colorado Springs. So we'll keep you informed on that. And then another great sponsor is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And Roger's been in business for 48 years, taking care of his clients as well. And so you might be able to save some money if you reach out to them and bundle your insurance together. You won't know unless you have that complimentary appointment. So you can always give them a call at 303-795-8855. And I really am blessed to work with amazing people.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. for that peace of mind to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. In the second hour, show sponsor Susan Harris is going to be our featured guest. She is a great friend. She loves America. And I really am so grateful for the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And I'm on a road trip. I'm up in Steamboat, gorgeous Steamboat Springs, Bluebird Day yesterday. I gave the keynote at the Rout County Republicans Lincoln Day brunch. And Teresa Irby, who is our new partnership liaison with the Kim Munson Show, road tripped it with me. And here we are on location. You've got your microphone, your headphones.
Good morning, everyone.
And this is fun, huh?
Oh, we're just having a great time.
And I'm pleased to have on the line with me Darcy Shaning. And she is the director of special initiatives for the Colorado State GOP. She's done a great job on that. And Darcy, I wanted to welcome you to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, Kim.
Well, and you've done such a great job on these special initiatives. The last Capital Club luncheon that I was at, there was well over 100 people, if not more, there. And that has been one of your babies, right?
Yes, I've really enjoyed Capital Club. I bet for the last year, we've had some really good speakers, yourself included. In addition to that, there was a really good event in Washington, D.C., the cocktail hour that we held for the Colorado delegation. There were like 300 people there. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed bringing people together at these events.
Well, and Darcy, also, you have been active across the state. You've got two great children, elementary school age, and you have such a heart for our children. But, and when I say but, there you have that component of being a mom, but you also are so concerned about all children here in Colorado.
Definitely, yeah. Well, as you know, I think you were at the last Capital Club a couple of weeks ago. I was out in Durango fighting for the kids out in Durango. They voted to sanction BLM and trans flags, but I'm actively working with several different, the Trump administration and our different Congress people across Colorado to bring attention to that and to have their federal funding permanently frozen if they don't agree to stop damaging our children. So on the way home from that trip, I was routed through New Mexico because Wolf Pass was closed. And I was thinking that same thing. I was like, this is kind of a sketchy trip on the way back. I hope I make it home. And then I was kind of thinking about my kids and just, you know, all that we do every day to fight for families in Colorado and just how much work it is. And that's why I'm so excited to have Trump in office, because it's truly a new era where we talked about before we would be fighting for children, fighting for the Second Amendment or what have you. And we were just excited to have one win here and there amidst a bunch of losses. And now with, you know, Trump in office and we've got control of the federal government, I think it's a new era and we are going to make so much progress over the next 4 years. So I'm really excited. And I've been working with donors to secure funding. We're up to about $200,000 to secure funding for the 2025 school board elections through the Build Our Benches initiative. And that's a huge deal in Colorado. We've really got to be focusing on those school board seats. Those are the seats that affect our children the most, but they're also where we get our local candidates, and then those candidates become statewide candidates and so on and so forth.
So, Darcy, you have thrown your hat in the ring as Colorado State GOP chair, which, important job, thankless job. It seems like probably in that job every day you have somebody that's happy with what you do and somebody that's not. But you've thrown your hat in the ring because why?
Well, because I truly feel that I am the best person in the state to lead us into this new Trump era. I've been putting in the work consistently year after year, and I think people have seen that. I worked tirelessly to lead the historic endorsement of President Trump by the Colorado GOP. I was instrumental in assembling the candidate initiative for the Colorado GOP, and I'm usually at the forefront of most issues, whether it's Denver Children's Hospital or what, you know, local education efforts. So I feel that, you know, we need doers in our party, and especially people that want to be leaders. We need people that are willing to do the work, the people that are willing to take the media hits, you know, the people that are willing to take the calls at 2 a.m. This can't just be a job where, you know, you log the miles and you show up and take the microphone for 5 minutes and proselytize about our party. We have to have people in office that are willing to go around and, like I said, put in the work. And I've shown that I can do that. And so I believe that, you know, putting me as voting for me as chair is just elevating the work that I'm already doing and just saying, you know what, Darcy, we trust you. We've seen you do the work. Let's lead us into the new era.
So, Teresa, you had a question.
No, I actually just wanted to compliment Darcy. Hi, Darcy.
Hi.
We've been, you know, from afar watching you. One of the things that I would say is I see you walk the walk and talk the talk. You are such a fearless warrior at putting what your message is your message, and you are not afraid to speak it out, whether it's coming down on someone that's going at our kids or a school board. And I love that about you. So I just wanted to affirm you that I see you on a regular basis on social media platforms and just all of the organizations that we're all involved in together. And I agree with you. I think you walk the walk and talk the talk, and you're ready to get out there and be bold and stand up for what's right. We're in a historical era right now with our amazing president and the things that are happening, and you are right there in the heart of it. So,
And I will let all the listeners know, any candidate that ever reaches out to me, I will work to get them some time on the show. So, Darcy, one of your representatives reached out to me, so it's good to have you here. And I think you're on to something that's very important. Even though we're so excited about what's happening at the federal level with Trump, I really think the radical activist extremists are going to double down. I was just talking about this House bill regarding elections. And so I think that they are kind of burrowing down, if you will, into the state, the county, the municipalities, school boards, special districts. I think you're going to see a burrowing down to push that agenda in those arenas, Darcy.
Definitely. Well, and we saw the Democrats doing that in the last cycle in Colorado. They were really, really coming for those rural commissioner seats and some of those commissioner seats where it was really close. And so, yeah, we have to stay vigilant, especially now with Trump at the helm. They're going to really be coming for those seats.
So, Darcy, what's the process? When is the election? What's the process? How can people get more information about you?
So the election will be at the end of March, most likely that last weekend in March 29th. And that is the SCC, the State Central Committee that votes. But anybody can get information about me at Darcy, F-O-R, Chair, darcyforchair.com. On Twitter, it's Darcy, and then the number 4CO. You can just look me up on social media or anywhere. My phone number is on my website, my social media. And as always, even if you're not looking, you know, for information about my candidacy, I'm always around to help. If you've got an issue in Colorado, especially if it's about our schools, please contact me because I will be there to help you figure it out.
Okay, so Darcy, one more time, what is your website?
Darcy4chair.com, and 4 is spelled out.
Darcy4chair.com. Okay, again, Darcy number or spelled out 4chair.com. So Darcy, we've got just a couple of minutes left. What are maybe the two top issues that you think are so important here in Colorado that people need to be aware of?
Well, they need to be aware of, you know, as I continue to reiterate, what's going on in our schools. But I would say that as far as the Colorado GOP goes, we need people that, like I said, that are doers. But what I want to see is all of us come together and really create an infrastructure for our candidates, for raising money for future generations of the Colorado GOP. And so what I would like to leave listeners with is, you know, we have our values down. We just need to get our goals in line, and we all need to be working towards those same goals. So everybody needs to think, you know, what are my top two issues? What are my top three issues? And how can I work towards solving those issues? And as the GOP, we're here to work within that framework to take Colorado back. So really, I would just like to leave everybody with the idea that if we focus on the same goals, if we keep moving in the same direction, then that's how we take Colorado back.
Okay. Well, great. Well, Darcy, thank you for stepping forward and throwing your hat in the ring for Colorado State GOP chair. And again, more information for Darcy. And Darcy is D-A-R-C-Y, right? D-A-R-C-Y?
Yes, D-A-R-C-Y, yeah.
Okay, D-A-R-C-Y-F-O-R-chair.com. And thank you so much for joining us this morning, Darcy.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do.
Well, and right back at you. So thank you so much. And that's Darcy Shaning. I love it that that people are stepping forward, Teresa,
absolutely,
because that's a tough job.
It is. It's okay, a really be very tough. Thankless. So grateful for you, Darcy.
Yeah. And before we go to break, thank you. As you know, one of the nonprofits that I dearly love is the USMC Memorial Foundation. And President Paula Sarles, last year for her 75th birthday, she decided to jump out of an airplane. But this year for her 76th birthday, she's going to climb 426 steps out at Red Rocks on March 15th, 250 for the Marine Corps birthday, 100 for our Iwo Jima veterans turning 100, and 76 for the president for her birthday. And so you can donate per step. It would be a great way to support her. And you can get more information about all that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. That's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And regarding my sponsors, I know each and every one of them personally, and they all strive for excellence. So when you need their goods or services, be sure and give them your business.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And that website, again, is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. I'm on a road trip. I delivered the keynote address for the Rout County Lincoln Day brunch yesterday. We're up in beautiful Steamboat Springs. And with me is my colleague, and that is Teresa Irby. She is our partnership liaison at the Kim Munson Show. It's great to have you here.
Oh, great to be here. Good morning, everyone.
And I am really excited about our next guest. Jeffrey Tucker is the founder of the Brownstone Institute, and he's the president there as well. He's an author, senior economics columnist for the Epoch Times, author of 10 books, including Life After Lockdown and articles, and he's really one of the most respected thinkers, I think, in our country today. Jeffrey Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thank you for saying all those sweet things about me.
Well, they're all true. That's what's so great about it. But Jeffrey, I saw this piece in the Epoch Times, and I thought this is so powerful. And you titled it 10 Days That Shook the World. And I think it's fascinating. So where should we start with this article?
Well, you know, The title comes, of course, from John Reed's classic book, chronicling his time, and I believe it was St. Petersburg at the October Revolution in Russia, where the Bolsheviks overthrew the Kerensky government, and he was a communist and an American. But a very good journalist and a deluded fanatic, but a genius. Okay, so, and he wrote this book called 10 Days That Shook the World, and that was a time when we didn't have a whole lot of access to information sources, really. So his book came out and it rocked the world. It became a bestseller in the United States and framed up how Americans saw the Bolshevik Revolution and Lenin's role. And that interpretation survived for the better part of 20 years afterwards. That's how influential it was. It's a wonderful book. You should, everybody should read it, actually. It's just as a great piece of journalism. Again, I think it's, you know, the work of a deluded fanatic, but it's a powerful manuscript. Well, you know, fast forward 10 years later, and I think we had our own 10 days that shook the world with the arrival of the Trump administration. That's what the article is trying to explain. We have a very strange set of historical circumstances that are presented to us in the form of a president who is returning for a non-consecutive second term, having had 4 years to think about everything that went right and wrong in the first term. And he gathered around him some very, very smart people, very good strategists. And they schemed out a way to arrive in Washington while avoiding all the problems that befell him the last time. So, you know, among these things, they privately financed a transition so that they could keep you know, sort of deep state employees and so on from internally subverting the new administration. They had a hard 4-year long hard clampdown on any speaking to the media, any public discussion of their plans. They kept it all just in sloganeering and that sort of thing, but no specifics. And then even rejected FBI vetting of their appointees because they didn't trust the FBI to do this job in a way that would not lead to leaks. They really wanted, in other words, they were quite desperate to preserve the element of surprise. And
well, they did it.
It
was remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite moments happened right away when the president took the oath of office. And we were all kind of, I was speaking maybe for myself, but I think for many others, impatient to see what he was going to do right away. And, you know, he took bows, gave a speech, you know, this and that, went to a reception, and then did a kind of performative signing of executive orders on stage. And we were delighted by that. And we liked the executive orders. The White House website was blown up, you know, the old one, and replaced by a new one. We, you know, were able to click and watch the executive orders that came in. And he signed, like, you know, let's say 5 or 10 or something like that. Went to another party. Did some more dancing, some more speaking. At some point, sauntered over to the Oval Office and held a long press conference while he was signing more executive orders, explaining things. And then went to another party and another party and another party. So he was out until like 2 a.m. And we were watching this, you know, thinking, where does this guy get his energy? Why is he doing it this way? What is taking place besides these performative signings, these press conferences, these speeches, these dances? You know, at some point he's using a sword to cut a cake, and then, you know, it was all just wild. Well, what we didn't know is that within minutes after he took the Oval Office, he had sent a team, then labeled the Department of Government Efficiency, operating under Elon Musk, directly to the U.S. Treasury Department to get into the payment systems. And they illegally entered, right, because they're now, the transition has occurred. But they were the first people, outside career civil service people, to enter that room in 80 years, if you can believe it. Since 1945, so far as anybody knows. And I'm saying that based on an article that was written by 5 former secretaries of the Treasury, who said that no elected leader or appointee has ever had access to the payment system since 1945. You know, crazy, right? So in other words, they took on what is arguably the biggest, most important task. They took it on, you know, immediately. And then at the same time, another team was entering the Office of Personnel Management with mattresses in tow. And went up to the 5th floor, which is the executive offices of the Office of Personnel Management, threw all the mattresses on the floor and planned to stay there for days on end, working 24/7, and got access to the email systems, which, again, no appointed officer by the duly elected president has ever had access to those things before. And that's when they started sending out emails to the entire federal staff. Basically inviting everybody to resign. That happened almost, immediately. So all this stuff unfolded. And then we got one executive order after another taking on DEI, forbidding any kind of administrative state oversight on free speech and so on and so on. I mean, it was quite astonishing to watch. And of course, since then, we've seen plenty of other actions. But my article kind of, what I did was in the spirit of John Reed, Jack Reed. I tried to chronicle the first 10 days as the days that shook the world. And indeed, they did shake the world. I think what's unfolding right now is challenging at least 100 years of, maybe 140 years of precedent in Western industrialized democracies.
We are in such a historical time. Jeffrey, in some of the speeches that I give and many times on the air, I say I think that we are in the third founding of America. I think we're in this historical battle of ideas. The work that you're doing at the Brownstone Institute and all these amazing articles that you have at the Epic Times, we're in this epic battle of ideas. And I think we're going to reclaim the American idea.
You say the third founding. What to your mind is the second founding?
The Civil War. The question on whether or not one man could be property of another. So obviously the Revolutionary War was our first founding, the Civil War, and then where we are now.
I think that's an interesting way to look at it. As I think back on the sweep of all this stuff, there was a terrible thing that happened about 20 years after the end of the Civil War, which was the creation of a very small, nascent civil service. And the idea of that was to create a kind of a realm within government that was protected from the wiles of politics. So the president wouldn't really have control over the civil service. And people thought, well, that seems reasonable. You know, why shouldn't we have professional experts running things? You know, it makes sense. But that ballooned over the course of all these years, and it got worse, you know, in 1913, with the 17th Amendment, the creation of the Federal Reserve, the income tax, all these things. And a President Wilson who believed very strongly in a kind of administrative state dictatorship. I mean, he did not like democracy. He thought it was dumb. So he wanted a government by expert administrators. And it's just gotten worse. Then we had the Depression, then we had another war, then we had this war, then we had more wars and more economic crisis. And then at some point, we've all, you know, come to this weird conclusion. We've all had this sense that our votes don't really matter because the politicians and their appointees are always outgunned by the bureaucracy. We've noticed, you know, that we keep voting for this thing or that thing, and then it goes away. You know, where's the hope and the change? Where's the reinventing government? You know, where's this? Where's that? It all just seems like slogans. And it got so bad in the last president we had before Trump. You know, he didn't. I think we all know this now. He wasn't actually a functioning president. He just was a kind of a figurehead, you know, and they just kind of would prop him up and say, oh, here's a guy, here's what he's going to say, and we were supposed to believe it. Well, I think that, in a sense, that was too much. You know, we had fake presidents, you know, in the form of Soviet premiers. You know, we know what those look like, and that's not what America is supposed to be. The burden of that Trump took on in the 2024 election was to make people believe again that the elected government could do something real and important. And this is what he had to overcome. It wasn't just simply a matter of inspiring people with his personal example or, you know, rallying people with his jokes and his charm. That kind of stuff. He had to convince the voters that this time something big was going to happen for once. And enough people decided to say, okay, you know, I mean, we've been, you know, Charlie Brown with the football, you know, for a lot of generations. And we finally decided, okay, we're gonna kick this thing again. And so, but because he's had a whole, you know, one term experience and then 4 years to think about that experience, he was in a unique position to actually make good on his promises. But the only way you can do that is by taking on the civil service, the bureaucracy, and doing things that are kind of without precedent, you know? Sending emails, all
that,
you know. Yeah, I mean, nothing like this has ever been done in the American political context in living memory of anyone. So he's taking his job as president seriously.
It is truly remarkable. And we're talking with Jeffrey Tucker. He's the founder and president of the Brownstone Institute. He writes extensively, speaks extensively, but you can find a lot of his articles at the Epoch Times. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jeffrey Tucker.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range is excited to announce its new partnership and on-site training opportunity coming soon. Training in firearm safety for in-home or self-defense is difficult to do in a practical way. But Franktown, in partnership with Colorado CQB, is opening an indoor 360-degree shoot house that will bring you closer to reality than anything you've ever seen. Practice interactive scenarios for defense to ensure you and your family are safe, and you can shoot confidently. You'll benefit from experienced staff and trainers, including law enforcement and military backgrounds. Franktown's new shoot house opens in February, and they invite the public to come out to talk to them about it now and be ready for the grand opening. For safe and simulated training opportunities open to all levels of experience, come to Franktown Firearms, where friends are made. Learn more about Franktown Firearms on the KLZRadio.com advertisers page, where you can ask any questions you might have.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to The Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You should not have to force people to do it. I'm on a road trip with our partnership liaison, Teresa Irby. We're up in Steamboat Springs. I gave the keynote yesterday at the Rout County Republican brunch, and hats off to Heather DeVos and all of her team,
fantastic,
the great job
group
that they did. So, Jeffrey, we are out here in God's country right now. You're in Manhattan, right?
Close enough.
Close enough. So we're talking with Jeffrey Tucker, and as Teresa whispered to me during break, she said, "He is so smart." I said, "I know." And he is the founder and president of the Brownstone Institute. We're talking about this article in the Epoch Times, 10 Days That Changed the World. Jeffrey, you mentioned Biden, or I call it the O'Biden-Harris administration. And you said, we realize as we're watching this that he wasn't really the president. There was a they. But I don't know if we've ever figured out who they is or are. Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm so interested in this question. So many of the people who have actually been running this country for a very long time are people that don't have any kind of public profile. They are not, and this is all deliberate. They graduate from the Ivy League, you know, colleges, winnow their way into the right circles. They go under deep cover, and they work to make sure they never have a Wikipedia entry. They don't have social media presence. They don't publish anything under their names. They're like rats hiding out in your basement, or bats in your attic. You know, they only come out at night. You know, and I tell you, here's some proof of that, because I'm really intrigued by this position in the U.S. Treasury called the Fiscal Assistant Secretary. Okay, the Fiscal Assistant Secretary is the guy who has pretty much sole access to all payment systems flowing out of the U.S. Treasury. So let's say since 1939, which is when this office was created, there's been more than $200 trillion flow out of that office. And it's always been lorded over by one guy that came from within the Treasury system, and he's surrounded by two or three people who are also from the Treasury system. The most recent guy had been there 35 years and just walked into that position of immense power, and nobody had ever heard his name. And I never heard the name. And I, fortunately, with Grok now, you can look up anything. And I said, okay, who are the fiscal assistant secretaries since 1939? And it generated a list of 15 names, not one of whom you've ever heard a word.
Wow.
You've never heard of these people. And these are arguably, you know, this is arguably the most powerful position in the U.S. government. And you know this because if you ever work in a business, you know, the person who signs the checks is the person who's in charge, right? So the U.S. Secretary signs the checks, but he has traditionally never had access to the payment portals themselves. That's always been the Fiscal Assistant Secretary. Well, what Trump did is he moved in there and fired the guy. The guy resisted, you know, giving access to legitimate government Trump's politically appointed officers. And so he resigned, you know, under the threat of being fired. So for the very first time since 1939, we have a complete outsider in the position of the assistant fiscal secretary of the Treasury. And this is a guy that comes out of business, who's, you know, you know, long experience with various industries and that sort of thing, really knows his stuff. So for the very first time, we have somebody in there who comes from outside the agency. So this is a dramatic change. The biggest change, again, in all living memory in government.
This is, I had no idea about this. And
yeah.
I think, Jeffrey, as you mentioned, I didn't realize that. I'm wondering, how were they so organized to get this done? And you said that he had been privately financing the transition team. It's taken the radical activists, extremists, a little bit of time to get organized. It's taken about 4 weeks. We now see them out there in the streets protesting DOGE. And it's like, so you're protesting that you do want fraud, waste, and abuse? It's not making sense, right?
Just one point about the private financing of the transition. That began only in October when they began to realize they were going to win the election. And so they began to already finance the transition. But for the previous 4 years, they had mapped out all these strategies. They gamed it out. The first 10 days, the first month, the first 100 days, they gamed it out in great detail, you know, over 4 years in private, under the cone of silence and so on, so that nobody knew exactly what they were doing. One of the things that happened during the campaign, as you recall, the Trump's opponents started seizing on what was called Project 2025, sort of a Heritage Foundation thing.
Right.
And Heritage Foundation had put out this big book, and it's a good book, by the way. But it's a big book. It's like, here's what should happen under the new administration. And the Trump team immediately distanced itself from it, said, we don't have anything to do with Project 2025. There's it's not our program. That is just some nonsense. And what they, well, let me say, I don't think I said this publicly, but privately, what they explained was that you never, under any circumstances, want to reveal your wartime strategies to the enemy. You know, that's right. When you're conducting a war, and this is a kind of a war against bureaucracy in a way. You don't want to give the enemy your battle plans, you know, and they, from the Trump team's point of view, their view was always that, you know, the Project 2025 is a big public document. Of course, they're trying to raise money from their donors and that sort of thing. So they, of course, they had to be public. But that's not what the Trump team wanted to do. They knew for sure that if they're going to have an effect, they had to go into this maintaining the element of surprise, just like you would in a kind of battle, you know.
Yeah. Jeffrey, we are about out of time. This has been fascinating. We've got about 30 seconds. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think what we need to be better at putting today's events in the larger historical framework. What is really at issue right now is whether and to what extent the duly elected president is allowed to be president. I mean, you wouldn't think that'd be a question, but that is the driving question of our age. So everything that's happening right now needs to be understood in that context.
Okay. Jeffrey Tucker, founder, president of the Brownstone Institute. You can find him at the Epoch Times. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Teresa, awesome.
Oh, thanks, Jeffrey.
And our quote for the end of the show is from Louis Brandeis. He said, most of the things worth doing in the world have been declared impossible before they were done. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two. To cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment. Thank you to the team I work with as producer, Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I'm on a road trip. I'm up in Steamboat Springs, gorgeous Steamboat Springs. Yesterday, Bluebird Day, gorgeous, driving up here. A lot of snow as well. And with me is our partnership liaison, and that is Teresa Irby. And Teresa, it's great to have you here.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
And I'm blessed to work with really amazing partners, sponsors, and we need to grow. And you are the... You are going to be the glue that makes that happen, and we're just thrilled to have you as part of the team.
I couldn't be more excited to be working with you, Kim.
Yeah, it's fun, and so here we are. We're on location. We've got this great little setup that takes us directly directly into the studio board, and so really excited about that. Check out the website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. The show comes to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And then the first hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon, second hour 10 to 11 at night, and that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, which is KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, and the KLZ app. And then within 24 hours, we normally have the shows posted with a written summary at KimMunson.com, and then also you can find the podcast at Spotify, iTunes, and all those different places. Our word of the day is reticent. And it is spelled R-E-T-I-C-E-N-T. And it can be, let me get up to this. So it's, since I'm on location, I normally have all these papers right in front of me. But here we go. It could mean to be inclined to keep one's thoughts, feelings, and personal affairs to oneself, restrained or reserved, reluctant or unwilling. And again, it's R-E-T-I-C-E-N-T. And sometimes I'm reticent to... give my opinion until I have a kind of a better understanding of maybe how the conversation might go. It used to not be that way, but sometimes I try to incorporate that word. Teresa, we're so thrilled that you're our partnership liaison. And one of the reasons is maybe this should be our next word of the day is because you're effervescent, which is maybe the opposite of reticent. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I definitely, I love people. I love being with people, talking to people. Being your partner, it's just fantastic, and I know that we already have so many wonderful partners, and reticent is not something I would call myself. I wear my thoughts on my sleeve.
But well thought out and based in your faith as well, which I love.
It's very important to me.
So if people would like to get more information about all that we do, what's the best way for people to reach you?
They're more than welcome to call me, 520-631-9243. I'd love to have a conversation.
Okay. And again, great to have you here. And so our quote of the day, this is a good one. You like this.
I like this a lot.
This is from Louis Brandeis. He was born in 1856. He died in 1941. He was an American lawyer, also served as an associate justice on the Supreme Court of the United States from 1916 to 1939. He said the only title in our democracy superior to that of president is the title of citizen.
Because we are citizens of this great nation, and we are important, and our voice counts today more than ever. Not a time to be complacent, a time to stand up and be a part of what's going on.
And we were made for this time, such a time as this. But Colorado, my friends, is at the tip of the spear, and it's Crazyville down at the State House. And almost 500 bills or resolutions have been introduced. We were at 497 this morning, and that is why the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, it's overwhelming. And we are an all-volunteer group. We're watching legislation, and it's by design that everything's overwhelming down there. So that's why our work is so important. And Sue Moore and her group over at Liberty Scorecard are doing a great job on that as well. But this is a very dangerous one. This piece of legislation is House Bill 1225, Freedom from Intimidation in Elections Act. One sponsor on this is Stephen Woodrow, Democrat. And this bill says that in the quick summary, and this is why this is danger, danger. This says the bill creates the Freedom from Intimidation in Elections Act, which prohibits any individual from intimidating, threatening, or coercing, or attempting to intimidate, threaten, or coerce. Those are all subjective. Teresa.
Yes.
Problem, danger, danger. But the four bullet points they have, the first is on this intimidating, threatening, or coercing of anyone voting or attempting to vote. Number two, urging or aiding any individual to vote or attempt to vote. Number three, this is the one that's really getting me, is exercising any powers or duties to administer elections, including vote counting, canvassing, mm-hmm. and election certification.
I don't like the way that feels.
No. And they say that we are the gold standard in elections in Colorado. It is an illusion. It is not true. And this would try to prevent people from looking under the hood to see what's going on. And when I say they're playing long ball, the radical activists are playing long ball, particularly with this bill right now, Teresa.
Right. The title of that bill and then what that number three says, it's giving you the facade that they are protecting. It's giving you the facade that they're protecting your freedoms. But really, if you're looking at three, that's exactly opposite of what they're doing.
They want to prevent us from taking a look to see if something funny's going on.
That's right.
With elections.
And that's no freedom.
Yeah. So maybe that's what we should call it, is the election law to prevent everyday people from seeing possible
what's really going on.
Some possible funny stuff that's going on. So that's probably the new name of it. I wanted to mention the Center for American Values, located in Pueblo. They are nonpartisan and they're nonpolitical. But they are focused on several things, honoring our Medal of Honor recipients, as well as holding up these values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. They've done some great educational programs. And, Teresa, I think we're going to have to do a road trip in March on this.
Absolutely. I love the Center for American Values. I had the privilege of going down there with my youngest, who was honored with the Cherry Creek School District for his patriotism. And just if you've never had an opportunity to go down and actually visit the center, it is so impressive. It's so emotional. There's actually pictures surrounding all of the walls with quotes from our Medal of Honor recipients. It's an amazing center.
So I'm honored to support them on the show.
Absolutely.
And more information, you can go to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. Again, they're non-political, nonpartisan, focusing on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And we get to do this because I really get to work with amazing people, Teresa.
You do indeed.
And I'm talking with Roger Mangan with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. And granted, it's January, Roger, but hail season is right around the corner, and Colorado is one of the hail capitals of the world.
Yeah, you know, it is. And I think I've said this on the show before, but there's probably one other place in the world that has more hail than Texas and Colorado. That would be the Himalayas, where very few people live and no one really has property damage claims around the Himalaya Mountains. So, yeah, it's an issue. Along with hurricanes and wildfires, hail in Colorado is probably the biggest loss that we have to absorb. So insurance companies have solutions to substantiate their ability to pay claims. Of course, price increases you've seen over the last 4 years, they've gone through the roof. You know, the average premium on a homeowner's policy now runs about $2,500 a year. 5 years ago, it was about $1,500 a year. Wow. So it has taken substantial hits as a result of hail. So other than increasing prices, insurance companies, particularly State Farm, has identified roofing materials that are hail-resistant, impact for IRR, impact-resistant roofs, IRR. So if you have had a hail loss, and you've had a new roof put on, and the insurance company that you're with may not have a discount, or if they have a discount, it may not be substantial. So if you took, let's say, an average premium of $2,000 a year with State Farm, and we gave you a 30% discount, which we do, so that's $600 that you're saving every year for the life of that policy with State Farm. That is a tremendous feather in your cap and a savings, of course, for you. So what I would suggest you do, if you have a neighbor and they had a roof put on and you talk to them and they say, yeah, I got a great discount and I'm with State Farm, and you're with maybe, I'm not sure, AAA, Allstate, Costco, whoever you might be insured with, you would want to maybe give us a call and we would be able to give you a quote. And if you have an impact resistant roof that was put on and you're not getting the full discount, I would suggest you protect your pocketbook and make a call and see if we can help you. 303-795-8855.
So you're saying, would you have to have this impact-resistant roof? Is that what you get the discount on?
Yes.
Okay. And so if you have that, then give you a call at 303-795-8855. It doesn't cost anything.
Nope, not at all. If you could tell us the material that was put on, and you would know what that was because you paid a bill to a roofer, you give us the name of that material, we'll check it against the list we have of pre-approved roofing materials, and if we say yes, that is eligible for the discount, at your renewal time, you get your bill from your current company, call us, let's compare and see if we can help you.
So you could save, potentially save big money.
Yeah, it's big money.
Yeah.
It's big money.
Okay, well, and all you have to do is make a phone call. So that number is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And did want to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation. Paula Sarles, who is the president, she's also a Gold Star wife and a Marine veteran, is for her 76th birthday. She's going to walk a lot of steps at Red Rock. So a great way to support the foundation is to pledge a certain amount towards each of those steps. And you can get more information about that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I'm on a road trip up in Steamboat Springs. Yesterday gave the keynote to the Rout County Republicans at their Lincoln Day brunch. And it was really a treat. With me is Teresa Irby. She is our new partnership liaison. And I want to give a shout out to the food. Johnny B. Good provided the food. And normally, Teresa, at these things, no offense to rubber chicken, but a lot of these things in the metro area are rubber chicken kind of dinners.
Absolutely.
It was amazing.
It was so good. I didn't really need dinner after that luncheon.
So anyway, congratulations to Heather DeVos and her whole team for the great work that they've done there. On the line with me is my friend and also a great sponsor of the show, and that is Susan Harris. She supports us. She supports a lot of different organizations, very supportive of Prager University, which Dennis Prager is doing great work over there. But I am honored that she is my friend and our sponsor. Susan Harris, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. And how are you? We haven't really gotten to talk much since Trump, too. We've texted back and forth. But Susan, it's
so
remarkable. And
I
wanted to get your read on this because you watch things very faithful on all this. So where are you at? What do you think about Trump, too?
Well,
overall, in the, you know, the grand scheme of things, I'm very happy with how things are going. It's going actually better than I expected it would, I think. And I listened to the guest that was on at the end of your last hour, and it really helped clarify some things. So that was really good information. But I think, you know, they just came in and hit the ground running. And that's exactly what needed to happen. And, you know, the other side is just now starting to, you know, catch their breath, so to speak, and start to push back, which we know that they're going to. But I think because of the aggressive start of the administration's policies and all the executive orders that have been issued, you know, they're going to be on their heels for quite some time. And because of that, the Trump administration is going to be able to really, really get some things done. Not everything, but a lot of things. And, you know, just the general posture of the administration this time and the general feeling that these are things that we are not going to back off of no matter what, that has been made clear, and that the bureaucrats are no longer in the driver's seat. And it's so refreshing and encouraging.
Susan Harris, I always wondered how we could make any progress regarding, it's been termed the fourth branch of government, the administrative state. I remember when I was on city council, we were at a meeting where there were a number of bureaucrats, and one of them said to all of the electeds there, he said, "I'll be here long after you're gone." And I thought, that's pretty fascinating. But Trump has turned the tables on this, hasn't he?
He really has. And I'm hoping that they're going to be able to have a long-term effect. In the short term, he really has. And so the hope is that this can be a long-term, you know, transformation, really, of putting the government back in the hands of the people as much as possible, because, and I say as much as possible because it has just been captured way down to the lowest possible level employee. And the great news is the curtain has been pulled back, and now everyone can see that this is a bureaucracy. It's not a democracy, and that's not okay. And I think for a lot of people, they just had no idea how much of government was being run by bureaucrats and not fulfilling the will of the people ever, and had no intention of doing it. So it's been very encouraging. You know, I just have looked down the list of all the things that have been accomplished, and I really don't think there's a single department that hasn't been impacted by the administration. And really across the country, you know, we had the California fires and the North Carolina floods. Even those people, well, especially in North Carolina, you know, they're actually seeing help now. It's just been really transformational and encouraging.
So, Susan, speaking of North Carolina, this whole thing, that the fact that Trump and company went into USAID initially, it was well planned, and most people, there may be a small portion that say, hey, it's okay if we're funding gender studies and whatever third world country, blah, 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 blah. But I would say the big, broad part of America is saying, wait a minute. And then they're looking at North Carolina. I'm going to have a guest on later on in the week that's doing work in Western Northern Carolina. And they're saying, wait a minute, we're not helping our people. And so the veil has come off, and I think that they can't recover that veil. I think that this truth, and I think it was attributed to George Washington. He said, the truth will come to light as long as pains are taken to bring it to light. And I think that's what's happening, Susan Harris.
I agree. It's just so encouraging and such a breath of fresh air. And, you know, I'm very hopeful I don't agree, and agree is not the right word. I guess I struggle a little bit keeping up probably with everything that's happening. And so it's hard to feel 100% positive about how things are being handled. But I think because they're having to go so fast, they're going to make a few mistakes and probably have to backtrack a little bit on some things. But, you know, just pushing all the DEI programs out of the government completely, all the way down through the states. And that's going to be a war, you know, a continued war, because lawsuits are coming, I'm sure. But pushing all of that out of, you know, the indoctrination process for all of our children, that is a huge undertaking. The peace process around the world, another huge undertaking. The border, a huge undertaking. The Department of Justice, cleaning house, you know, getting rid of the weaponization of the Department of Justice, another huge undertaking. So they have really taken on the entire government, and I am so impressed by that. They did not hold back.
Well, not at all. And then let's talk a little bit, Susan and Teresa, about these appointees. And this is from Sandra. She said, great news. Kash Patel, FBI director, has appointed Dan Bongino, FBI deputy assistant director. She says more prayers are being answered, and that Dan Bongino served as a Secret Service agent during the Obama administration. This is very possibly going to get real interesting, Susan Harris.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I'm just so impressed that Trump's appointees have been confirmed. And if you really think about that, that is a miracle. I mean, it really is that we finally got the Republicans, not all of them, unfortunately, but, you know, politically, some of them are in a corner and they don't know what to do, and they're just humans. But the fact that they were able to get the confirmation through is, in my opinion, a real miracle. And this team is just unstoppable.
I agree.
Yeah. So, Teresa, your thoughts weighing in on these appointees? It's pretty remarkable, huh?
I think I'm just going to have to mimic what Susan's saying. I mean, it really is a miracle and an answer to prayers that we're getting, that these are actually being confirmed.
Well, and I was talking with my friend Susan this weekend, and she's really my other friend Susan. How's that, Susan?
Susan and Susan.
And
women of a certain age, we're named Susan.
Right.
And I think there were four Kims in my second grade class, so I get it. But so it is a miracle, but I think also that there are those that know where the bodies are buried, because I'm pretty surprised when you're seeing Kash Patel confirmed, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., all of this. I'm shocked that they're all
Even Pete made it through.
I know. But I guess we don't even have to really think about that. The fact that they're in there and they're focusing on the future. They're focusing on what needs to be done for the American people, mm-hmm. which gives us great hope. Yesterday at the luncheon, there was a whole table of young men, lacrosse players. And I decided to speak directly to them because, Susan, you and I both believe this at our founding, that our founders put their lives on the line because they wanted to pass on something really good to the next generation, which was liberty.
Right.
And so I spoke directly to the table, and Teresa, it was amazing.
They were fantastic. We're talking about high school sophomore junior boys that came and represented at this luncheon. It was really impressive. And they were so engaged and so excited to be there. And they care about what's coming next and the liberty that we're passing on and our freedoms.
And I think, Susan, they felt such hope. And
that's a good word.
I'm so excited about that, Susan.
Yeah, I think for the first time in a long time, most people are feeling that way. You know, when the other thing that got done is we had political prisoners for the and the first time in my lifetime anyway that I can recall. I mean, maybe there were some and I just wasn't tuned into it. But, you know, the January 6th defendants and even just some pro-life defendants were in prison.
It's crazy.
And a lot, most of these people were nonviolent, especially, I mean, some of the pro-life defendants were the opposite of violence, very peaceful protesters. So that is so encouraging. And I feel like when those people were freed, it was just like such a relief. Oh, my goodness, I can actually go out and protest and not go to jail. Or,
without,
you know,
fear.
Right. Even just speaking freely has been difficult. And that is such a huge relief to be able to think, I can go into my grocery store and say something to a person and not have to be guarded all the time about everything.
Absolutely.
And it's such a freeing feeling. And I don't know how it is in Colorado, but here in Arizona, it is so great. Everyone is so happy here. They're just over the moon that this has happened.
Susan, I'm going to keep this as a cliffhanger. We have the Colorado State Legislature, and I feel this pressure every day here. It's a socialist agenda down at this legislature, but every time I go to a different state, I cross the border, drive up to Wyoming when I was down in Arizona a few years ago, I feel freedom. But we're not feeling that here. And you lived in Colorado for a lot of years. But
I
know you're jazzed. I'm jazzed to be in Freedom, Arizona, right?
Yes. Well, you know, but I still have a stake in Colorado. My husband and I, we own a business that's in Colorado, in Denver. And my son is living there and working there. So, you know, I still feel very strongly that we can't give up on Colorado.
Oh, we're not giving up.
Yeah. No, we are not giving up. And that's why speaking truth about these issues every day is important. And that's why, Susan, I so appreciate our friendship and your sponsorship of the show.
Well, I'm honored, quite frankly, to be able to participate and to sponsor you, Kim. I think it's really important. And your voice is so important. And the airtime that you give so many other voices is very important. And we can't thank you enough for that.
Well, right back at you. So we're going to continue the discussion with Susan Harris and in studio, on location in the hotel room at the Quality Inn in Steamboat Springs. That's our location, is Teresa Irby. We will be right back.
Do you crave a mouthwatering steak or juicy hamburger? It's time to head over to Lavaca Meat Company and fire up the barbecue. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. Lavaca Meat Company is located in the historic Coors Building at the corner of Main and Nevada in downtown Littleton. Lavaca cuts of meat are aged 21 days, which provides one of the best steaks you have ever tasted. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit Lavaca in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company. Only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And do check out the Center for American Values located in Pueblo, Colorado, on the Riverwalk. They are doing great events. They'll be having an on values presentation in March. And Walt Larimore has written an amazing book about his father, who was fought in World War II. He was an equestrian, and he ended up saving, Lipizzan horses?
Oh, Lipizzan or stallions.
Lipizzan or stallions. Susan, this is a really interesting story. Susan Harris is on the line. And Colonel Bill Rutledge, 96 years young, who's always saying, Kim, you might want to consider doing this. You might want to consider a story on this. He said that he'd read this book, and it was one of the best books that he had ever read regarding World War II. And Walt's father was tasked, and I can't quite remember exactly the story, but the Nazis not only were trying to create the perfect human race, they were also trying to do that with horses.
Oh, God.
So they had all these different horses. And then as the war was getting near the end and they were hungry, they were killing the horses and eating them. And so these beautiful horses, I think it was a Nazi that reached out and said, you need to rescue these horses. And so Walt's father was tasked with going in behind enemy lines and rescuing these horses. And it's a fascinating story. So he's going to be presenting down in Pueblo in March. I think it's going to be amazing, Susan. I know I kind of got off track on all this, but the work they're doing down at the center is really terrific. So I'm pleased to support them.
Well, I think that's so interesting. And I think, these stories are important because they're engaging. People actually listen to them. And I just think they're so important to remind us how fragile our freedom is and what the kinds of sacrifices that are needed to make sure that we maintain our liberty. And so I think these stories are very important, and I'm so glad that this one's being told. It sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it really, really is. So Susan Harris, you live in Arizona. So tell us about Arizona, first of all. You said people are happy. They're excited.
Yes.
Just tell us what it's like in Arizona.
We have our struggles. We have a Democrat governor, and so the state is definitely in the throes of a leftist bureaucracy for sure right now. But our state legislature is controlled by the Republicans. And we were able to strengthen that majority in the last election. So we're feeling very confident that we can continue to fight back against the policies of Katie Hobbs, although she vetoes pretty much anything that we try to get done. But we also can keep her from achieving her agenda. We have some very strong candidates for the next governor election, and we're very optimistic that we can take back the governorship in the next election. And the other thing that is very encouraging is I'm a member of an organization called AZ Free Enterprise Club, and they lobby down at the state legislature and try to educate all the legislatures about not all, but many of the bills that are coming up that they're worried would restrict our freedoms. And it's similar things that go on in Colorado, restricting your ability to move throughout the state as you please, restricting your ability to develop property, you know, restricting your ability to have school choice, which we have school choice here in Arizona, and it's very effective. And, you know, the Democrats want to take that away. So we have environmental green policies. They constantly are trying to push those through, which are destructive to the economy and to individuals because it increases utility bills. So we have that same fight going on here, but we're fortunate in that we do have a majority at the state legislature level. So we're able to fight back against that. And because the administration, the Trump administration is in charge now, it really opens the door. So we're getting leadership from the top down on a federal level. And then we, because we control the state legislature, can also from the bottom up, you know, support all of that, all that they're trying to do and really work in a partnership with the Trump administration to continue to keep Arizona red. So that's very encouraging.
Well, yes, it is. Colorado, Susan, I think is at the tip of the spear of all of the stuff that's going on. You mentioned energy prices. This was a headline that I had wanted to get to and I hadn't, that we were looking through headlines this morning. This is from Complete Colorado. It says, Xcel Energy will charge millions of Coloradans more to use electricity during evening hours after state utility regulators modified part of the company's proposal this week. So we're up here in Rout County, and in the next county, within the next few years, the regulators in Colorado, which Polis, really, they are pushing his agenda. He's trying to think about running for president, so he's trying to portray himself as libertarian. All these policies are his policies. And so in the county over, they are they're on task to close one of the coal fire plants. I think it's called Craig 2, I think it is. And then also And yesterday, folks were saying that the coal-fired plant in Hayden, well, they don't have a plan for behind that. And these economies, 146 people that are employed in Craig at that plant, and those are good jobs. Those jobs are going to go away. And one of the headlines from Colorado Public Radio, which they get government money to be on the air, said that, they're looking at, from an economic standpoint, that they're going to try to increase their tourism and they're kayaking on the river. And those are not, first of all, they're not replacing those great paying jobs, and they're not replacing a business that is providing reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy to many rural communities in Colorado and the surrounding states, Susan. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this always backfires. I wish people would study Germany's energy situation and learn some lessons from it, because they destroyed their whole economy by trying to go green without having an infrastructure, and they're in trouble. But we don't seem to learn. We just, you know, push forward on the green policies, because really the green policies are just a cover for totalitarianism. It really is.
Absolutely.
Those people do not care about the environment. They do not care about energy efficiency. What they care about is control. And it's very frustrating.
With our documentary, which is the project of Walt Johnson, and people can watch it for free at aclimateconversation.com. And it was just on Newsmax this last weekend, Susan. But what I've learned, and you've nailed it, it's about totalitarianism, and the Green New Deal is the green that is going into people's pockets. So the final thing all throughout out there is I'm sure you saw that headline that the EPA, as the O'Biden-Harris administration was going out the door, they squirreled away $20 billion over at private banks, and then they were going to dole that money out. $2 billion went to Stacey Abrams for green stuff. And again, the green was the green that was going into her bank account, Susan.
That is exactly, I'm so glad you brought that up. That's exactly what green means. And I'm sorry that I didn't make that clear. Not only is the Green New Deal all about money, so is our entire, I mean, that is why being run by the bureaucracy, this bureaucracy has literally been set up to launder our money right back to the criminals that somehow have gotten control of the system. And I am so excited that President Trump is there. He has ripped off the veil, and everyone can now see USAID is just the tip of the iceberg, that our money is literally being stolen. And he's going to put a stop to it. Hopefully it's not a temporary stop. Hopefully it's a permanent stop. And we just have to continue to pray that these people are kept safe, because the criminals that have been stealing our money are not going to go down without a fight.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why we have to understand what's going on and engage in this battle of ideas. And I thank you, Susan Harris, for being my partner in doing that. You have a wonderful day, and God bless you and your family.
You too. Thanks so much, Kim. Have a great day, ladies.
I'll take care, Kim.
And just Susan. Susan. It's Kim live radio. And, Teresa, I get it. So we're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bowes & Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bowes & Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bowes & Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bowes & Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bowes & Law now.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Franktown Firearms and Shooting Range is excited to announce its new partnership and on-site training opportunity coming soon. Training in firearm safety for in-home or self-defense is difficult to do in a practical way. But Franktown, in partnership with Colorado CQB, is opening an indoor 360-degree shoot house that will bring you closer to reality than anything you've ever seen. Practice interactive scenarios for defense to ensure you and your family are safe, and you can shoot confidently. You'll benefit from experienced staff and trainers, including law enforcement and military backgrounds. Franktown's new shoot house opens in February, and they invite the public to come out to talk to them about it now and be ready for the grand opening. For safe and simulated training opportunities open to all levels of experience, come to Franktown Firearms, where friends are made. Learn more about Franktown Firearms on the KLZRadio.com advertisers page, where you can ask any questions you might have.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm on a road trip with our partnership liaison, Teresa Irby. We are in Steamboat Springs, a bluebird beautiful day yesterday. yesterday.
Gorgeous.
And a great event. Congratulations to Heather and her team with the Route County Republicans for a great event. And we got to see an icon going to work, and that is Cookie Lockhart and her daughter Jo. Wow. And they ran the auction, and I met Cookie a few years ago at the National Western, and she is truly an icon, and you were so excited about this.
I was so excited to meet Cookie Lockhart. I've heard her name for years through friends, and in person, she is absolutely even more fantastic than I dreamed. Cookie, are you on with us?
I am. I'm hearing all these good things about me.
Oh, good morning. You were fantastic, and getting to spend some time with you, Joe, and Heather last night was just such a privilege and an honor. I just want to point out to everyone that Cookie Lockhart is actually a Hall of Fame auctioneer. I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how you got started in all of this, Cookie.
My dad was an auctioneer and came from Fort Collins. The bank sent him in the 30s when they were repossessing equipment. And he was a Teamster, meaning where the Teamster Union came from, where the name came from. Originally, that was men that could handle teams of horses. And, of course, that's how they fed in steamboat in the wintertime because, of course, it wasn't motorized vehicles. And there was a lot of little ranchers that had cattle, but unfortunately we're losing those because it was just a tough place to make a living. And so the bank sent him a two-steamboat from Fort Collins, and so he saw a need, and he raised Belgium horses, and he was an auctioneer, of course. So he was the first ranch broker here, and then he moved the family here in the early 40s. And so I grew up in Steamboat, and my brother was an auctioneer and my mentor, my idol. And my brother got ill in his 30s and passed away when he was 40. So I had taken over the family business by then. So on and on I went. I went to auction school with 126 guys and me.
That's fantastic.
I have a feeling that was maybe that meant that the ratio was fair because one Cookie Lockhart and 146 guys, I think that's about even.
Well, it wasn't easy, and of course it was, and it still is mostly a man's world. However, you know, there's not nearly as many live auctions either. There's more, you know, so much of it has gone online now. But there are still,
right,
and there always will be, live auctioneers that people like to listen to.
It's so much more fun to actually listen to you guys doing it live.
Well, and your daughter works with you. And that was so fun to watch the two of you, how you work together.
Oh, yeah. She's a lot of help. She's been working with me, especially like fundraisers. And then also estate settlements. I am not a regular realtor, whatever that means. There's about 400 realtors, I think, here in the Steamboat. And my office is actually with United Country, based out of Grand Junction. And we, nationwide, United Country, they're not only the oldest farm ranch company, but they have 500 offices. And our office is number 6 in the nation right now. So I am leaving for Kansas City to go to the convention to celebrate.
And, nice. So you say you're not a regular realtor. So what makes you different, Cookie? What makes what you do different?
Well, I think real estate salesmen, for the most part, the number one thing is to get a listing. And then, of course, there's a lot of work to it, no doubt about that. But you know, they put a sign on it, put it the MLS, whatever. I take on a client, and many times it's in the state where a spouse has passed away or they don't know what to do. I spent 3 months settled in a state in Oklahoma where she had never, you know, she'd just cook for hired help and make quilts. She had no idea what they owed her, and so I got her appointed by the court. And I took it to 3 different banks, and we figured out what she owed and what she had. And it was a huge estate. He had been an inventor of oil field the equipment. And anyway, it took 3 months. And when all was said and done, it brought more than 1.5 times what it was appraised for. And that was big equipment, you know, big trucks, big everything. So, I mean, when I take on a client, I'm there to the end. So whatever time it takes, and I just focus on one or two at a time. And usually, though they don't take 3 months, that one happened to be extra huge. But so that's kind of more me, is I feel an obligation to go clear through with it, but it's the type of clients that I have for the most part. And I sell farms and ranches also. Okay.
Well, Cookie, you said, hey, Teresa, Kim, let's meet down at the Primrose after the event yesterday, which we did. Lovely, lovely restaurant. And but what we realized, and you said the house that you grew up in was across the street, but you walk in with your sequin jacket, and it is like royalty. We were hoping people were coming up to you, getting their picture taken, you know, sit here. Somebody came and said, we're buying her first drink. It was remarkable to see Cookie Lockhart.
It was so fun.
Well, thank you. It was fun, yeah. And the place was packed. Boy, we're lucky we got to sit down. But, yeah, well, I'm so glad we went there. Because it is my favorite place. I love the owner. And the place is the best. It's just the best restaurant in town.
Colin was absolutely amazing. Our whole education on aged beef. So I feel so much more educated on aged beef now.
Well, and the other thing, speaking of that, though, the place was packed, Cookie. And we got there before you and Heather and Joe. And they said, do you have a reservation? We said, no. They said, they're like, well, we'll see what we, and we said, Teresa. But we're meeting Cookie Lockhart here. And they're like, we have a place right over here.
Well, that's so it's good to know the local celebrity for sure.
So, hey, Cookie, one thing, we only have about a minute left, but you have this,
okay.
You and Joe both wear these beautiful sequin jackets. You're
proud of America.
So just a minute, give us some hope. Give us the Cookie Lockhart view of America.
Well, I think it's back where it should have been, and it's been suffering for many years, the whole country. And thank God for Trump. And I can't believe anyone would be against what Musk and Trump are doing, because we're going to get our country back now, thank God. And I think that's our savior. So they are literally saving our country to be what it should be. Every man should have a job if they want to work. And dad's tombstone, one of his favorite sayings was, there's always work for a worker. So, you know, there'll always be work, but I don't think people need to worry about anything if they have any ambition. And I think thank God we will be able to, and our kids will have something to look forward to be the best they can be at whatever God-given talent they have.
Cookie Lockhart, you are an icon. Thank you for coming and joining us this morning. This has just been awesome. That's Cookie Lockhart, Hall of Fame auctioneer. Thank you. Teresa, we have about 15 seconds left. Teresa Irby, it's so great that we're working together. You as our partnership liaison. This has been a blast.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me be a part of this today. It was incredible. Thanks to everyone. I have hope in my country. I believe in my president. I believe in all the things that he's putting forward. And I'm ready to put my feet on the ground and help however I can.
Well, and so here is our quote for the end of the show from Louis D. Brandeis. He said, most of the things worth doing in the world have been declared impossible before they were done. Mm-hmm. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising.
and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.